we are in Rishon and Gimel. Last time we did Sif Aleph and Beis. Aleph and Beis dealt with Aleph dealt with the Shirim according to the time of the Gemara as to what one can have in order to be considered poor. And then Sif Beis says that none of that doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh, just simply because the numbers are all going to be different. And nowadays the Shulchan Aruch had the Psak that it sounds like until you have a principle, until you have a principal amount that you'll be able to live off of for a while, so one could still make the case that they're considered an ani. So we quoted last week at their poskim, or actually 2 weeks ago, at their poskim who explained that, yeah, either that or you have a stable job. If you have a stable job, that the money is coming in that you'll be able to support yourself on, even if you don't necessarily, even if you don't have a karen, even if you don't have a principal, either in property or just money, so one would still, one would already not be considered a poor person. So that's Sif Aleph, Sif Beis. Okay, so now Sif Gimel deals with the issue, and this is a something that scholarship committees and stuff really have to, it's a real challenging issue, and that is that if people have Rishon and Gimel, Sif Gimel. Oh, in the... In the tour, there's a Gimel, two lines from the bottom, on page Nun. Okay, so it deals with the issue of if a person does have other properties. So a person, let's say a person has various lands or assets in various places, so does the person have to sell them, or can a person say, I want to accept? Now, if everything all equals, so he should obviously sell them, or rather than to accept stucco. But here the argument is that it's down in value right now, and it's going to go up in value soon, and maybe, and not just, I'm hoping that it will go up in value, but there is a specific cycle that things go in. Like the property is more valuable in the spring than it is in the fall, because the spring is the harvesting season as opposed to the planting season. So would we make a person sell their stuff even at a loss or at a very low value, rather than to give them tzedakah? And the psak seems to be no. The psak is that we don't. So that's based on Gemara and Maseches, in the beginning of Maseches Baba Kama. So actually, if you just take a look in the Beis Yosef, right next to it, there it quotes the Gemara. Kolomar hadisnan, that there's first quotes from a Mishnah, Maseches Peah, at the end of Maseches Peah, in Mechayv and Osu Limkor Beisu V'kli Tashmisha, person is not obligated to sell their house or the things that they're using. That we spoke about, I think, last week. And the halacha about this, about, well, what if you have extra assets around? Vikar Adin Parakama the Baba Kama, where it says Tanya, Harisha Hailo Batam Sadus Kram Veino Motzi Lamachron, Machilun Oso Meiser Ani Ad Mechsa. So the Gemara, there's this brisa that says that a person has houses and fields and vineyards, but he can't sell them. Veino Motzi Lamachron, he can't, I'm sure can't, he doesn't want to or can't sell them right now. So Machilun Oso, we're going to give them Meiser Ani Ad mechsa, until half the value of the field. What is that talking about? So havi b'mar, so hechi dami. So the comments there. What exactly the case? Ozil arasa tuchuli alma v'didei nami zal b'hadayhu afilu tuvanami lispile. So he says if everybody's field is going down, so then it could even go down more than half. I mean, the implication it sounds like is that it will only go down to half. Or something. It can't be that it went down more than half. This is what I mean. If everybody's goes down, so it goes down. It went down more than half. So the hazol the chuli alma nami. So everybody's went down. Ela the okir arasa the chuli alma v'didai idi the ayel v'nafik azuze zala ara afilu portanami lo lispule. It is rather if the land went up in value. Sorry, everybody else's land went up in value, but his stayed the same. Nafik azuze zala ara, so he could sell his land. Afilu even. Less as well, he shouldn't have to sell anything. So, v'amamar, Allah lo tzrichana, what's the case? To v'yomi nisa yikara rasa, v'yomi tishrei zala rasa. That during the times of Nisan, the price of the land is more. V'yomi tishrei zala rasa, and during the month of Tishrei, the land has gone down. Duchuli alma notri ad Nisan. Everybody would say that let's wait until Nisan, you'll be able to sell it then. So, v'hai ovit tzricha zuze, zavin kidahashta, ad palga urche, lemezel tfei lav urche lemezel. So he says, but he needs the money now. So by this guy, again, that he needs the zuz, hove itzricha zuze, he needs the money now. So zavin, he should sell, as it is now. Ad palga, until a half, orche lemezel, tfeilu orche lemezel. So up to half, that's a normal thing to sell. More than that, that's considered not normal to sell, or not what?
He should sell it if it's
What does it mean that should he actually sell it or not? So that then ends up being a machlokas rishonim.
So what's this half?
Yes, what's the half? That he's entitled to meiser ani up to half of the value of the field.
So if he has, let's say, one field.
It's not his field. It's like an additional field.
This is a field.
I understand, but it's not his. It's not like where he lives, yeah, right? It started off by saying that you're not obligated to sell your house or the things that you use.
Right.
Now, would that apply to the field in his backyard?
Right. So
I'm not sure. Let's assume it's a separate.
He doesn't live there. He doesn't.
Right.
So he is allowed to take money up to half the value of the field.
He's allowed to take mice or honey up to half the value of the field. Right.
And then what?
What's the logic in that?
It's
tricky to understand.
Yeah, so it seems like the assumption is that the land won't be devalued more than that.
So does that mean he's supposed to eventually sell it and give back the money?
So there's a couple of questions. One is, when he does sell, does he have to give the money back? That's one issue. That will be discussed in the sifim to come. Although the answer to that is no. I mean, if you accept tzedakah, we're not going to hold it as an IOU until you get the money back. I mean, the assumption is that he's considered an ani at this point, up to half. Now, what does that mean? Up to half? Does it mean that he has to then sell the other half? It might mean we're cushioning your loss. I mean, your person says, I have a field that's worth $500. I could only get $250 for it right now. So you say, fine, here's $250 of tzedakah and sell the rest. Or you say, no, okay, fine. Here's the money that we'll give you up to half the value of the field and let you hold on to it and not make you sell it. So that ends up being, Beis Yosef here, but that ends up being a machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and the Rush, which actually appears in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So truth is, we could probably just go to the Shulchan Aruch itself at this point. It spells out that machloka. But that's the that Gemara in the beginning of Bava Kamma, that's the background to this idea. So in the Shulchan Aruch, in Reishon and Gimel, Sif Gimel, so it comments as follows, Mishahayilo karkaos, a person has land. So there Rashi adds in, not Rashi, excuse me, the Shach adds in, Milvad Beis Tirasa, but not his... not where he lives. Now, I'm not sure if that means, does that include the field in the backyard of where he lives? I don't know. But Mishayilu Karkos, a person has fields. V'im yimkaram bimos hagashamim yimkaram bezon. If he sells them during the winter, it's going to be worth much less. V'im yanichem ad yimos hachama mochrin b'shavim. He'll be able to get the good value for it. So ein mechayven oso limkor. He doesn't have to sell it. So that everybody agrees. Ella machilin oso meiser ani ad chatzi demeim. He gets meiser ani until half of its value. And we're not going to make him sell it if it's not the time of, unless it's the time of the mechir. So that's from the language of the Rambam. So the sheet of the Rambam is known that, we're not going to make you sell it. We'll give you up to half the value in Maaser Ani, and we're not going to make you sell the rest of the field. Now, what happens if he runs out after that? I think it just means... he's then in the pot with everyone else. I think that's what the Rambam means. I mean, then he's just considered a poor guy. Right? I mean, that's considered, what's the term that we use?
Kedei Machzor.
Right, Kedei Machzor. That's considered Kedei Machzor. And then he's a poor guy, like everyone else. And he'll try to beg like everyone else in order to get that money. The Rama adds in, V'yesh Omrim, says the Rama, She'ein machil noso, rakat she'yachu limkor karkos, b'chatzi demayim. That some say that we don't feed him until she'ein machilin oso rak, we only feed him until he's able to sell the rest of the field for half the money. So the Rama seems to be clear. I mean, we're going to be cushioning your loss. So the Rama is assuming that he's going to keep the land straight through and sell it in the spring, or maybe try to make more money off of it in the spring. And the Rama is saying, that's considered your asset. You're going to tell me my asset is much less valuable than I otherwise would be able to get to it, so give me tzedakah now. It's not a good idea. We're all going to lose out if you make me sell it now. So you say, okay, we'll give you tzedakah to cover half that loss. But ultimately, it sounds, says the Rama, it sounds like he is attempting to sell that land. That's what she says, the Rama.
The Rama is saying, we feed him until he can sell the field for half of its value, implying that at this point he couldn't even get half of its value. feed him until he could get ahead. That's what it sounds like to me.
I see how you're reading maybe that. Not. I do not believe that that's... All right,
okay.
He's quoting from the Torah. Ein motzi limkor ela bezol. V'im yanichem ad yimos acham yechol lemochrim b'shal v'sham. Ein mechayv nosol limkor ela nosim lemitzdaka ad sheyachol lemochrim b'chatzi demeim. We feed him until he's able to sell. Oh, you're right. That, I guess that is what he's saying. We feed him until he's able to then sell and get half the value for it, up to at least half the value. So we'll support you, assuming you're selling it. You're at a loss. Okay, as long as you get half the value for it, that's considered good enough. I guess that would be the sheet of the Ramah. Yeah, okay. So we would...
It's more than 50% decrease. It could be...
It sounds like it's more. So Ram is reading... Right. So they really have very different readings of the Gemara, the Rambam versus the Tor slash the Rosh slash the Ramah. So that's case number one. Case number two in this is Hayushara Adam Lochim Biyoker, but who ain't a motzi mishiyakach mimenu, ela bezol, mifnei shehu dachuk betara. Other people are getting good money, and he's not able to get good money for it. Why is he not able to get good money for it? Because everybody knows that he's desperate to sell.
Distressed seller, they call it.
A distressed seller. Okay, so of course he's desperate to sell, so he's getting less money. So can we help him out then? So then, ein mechayv nosu limkor. We would relieve the pressure. We would not make him sell it. Ela ochel meiser ani v'holich ad sheyimkor b'shavi. He could eat a meiser ani and be okay until he could sell it for a good price. And everybody will realize that he doesn't have to sell because he's living off of welfare. He's living off of Maaser Ani. So it's not an emergency, and therefore the people won't take advantage of him, and he'll be able to get a decent price for it. We did that.
So only was 2 years out of seven, right? Well, he's out of six.
Hashem, you're talking about the Maaser Ani?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Maaser Ani is like 2 years out of six.
Well, I think what it means is, I thought it meant is the Maestros of the Ani, meaning Peya, Demai, Shicha, not Demai, I keep saying Demai, Shicha, like a Shicha and Peya. I think that he's entitled, he has his card to prove that he's a poor person, bona fide poor person, therefore entitles him to the Matnos Ani. I don't think it necessarily only means Maestro Ani. Yeah, so this obviously comes up. Right. Patreon. There we go. There we go.
If
it's less than half, that's machmas she'en achshav zman mechiras karkos as I ain't sarach lemachor. V'ayim huzlu bipachos, if it went down but it's less than half, so then he should sell it. V'enu yachol litu min tzacha, and then he wouldn't be able to take from the tzacha, but he'll be able to sell. So we're right, as you said, point the other Ramah is saying, give him enough until he can get to half. If he get half his value, so that's going to be sufficient. And he says the same thing, by the way, it's not just land, it's metaltalin as well, that if he has diamonds or something and the market is down, he'll be able to get... So that's the shear that we're going to use. Now he adds in here a line, which is really, right, quoted actually from the Shach at the end of Sif Hei, which is the previous simon here. If you look at the end of Sif Hei, this says, at the end of the Shach Sif Hei, which is coming off of Beis, but he quotes from Kasav Rabbeinu Yeruchim, Vashem Rabbeinu Yonah. So in the Shach here, he says, "Ki amrinan demachilun oso ad mechsa demehem she yishvu b'yomos hachama ein machilun oso harbe b'yom echad el dover yom b'yomo kedei parnasaso ad chatzid demehem." That he's not, that as opposed to the real poor people that will give him like a nice amount and let him live for a while, here he really gets only a little by little. We're going to give him sort of a day-by-day allowance as opposed to giving him larger amounts in one lump sum. Why is that? So the way he describes in the Pesukim 2 is, "B'chol ofen sheyachol litul min hatzdaka machmas she'enu yachol limkor nechas v'sham," that is, so long as you're in this category, you're not really a poor person, you're just not able to unload your assets right now, "ein dino ka'ani mamish." You're not like a full-fledged ani. You're a chatzi ani. I don't know. Ve'ino rishai litol min atzdaka keren shiochli sparnis ba. And you're not able to collect up to the tzedakah to the keren, meaning the ideal was to get the person where they have some kind of principle they'll be able to live off of. So you don't fit into that category. We're just getting you by a little bit until you're able to sell your land, and with that land you'll be able to have that keren. You'll be able to use that principle which you'll be able to survive off of. He adds as well here that, and this is from the Sheva Alevi, that if a person has also minios, what are minios? Anyone know?
Well, shares,
very good. Stocks, oshar hashkaos,
investments.
Yeah, even though nowadays the stock market is a little bit down, and people would generally the smart money would be to wait it out a little bit and don't sell when they're so far down. Still, the same rules would apply. The same rules would apply with regards to investments and stocks. Of course, word from Nita Quint: when the stock market is down, just means they're on sale.
In these two cases, it seems to me, the second case, that everybody else is getting full value and he's not, so at least you have some idea what the value is. So you can figure out what half the value
okay.
is. But in the other case, where nowadays it's very hard to know the value of anything.
Well,
you take what the market is giving you, yes, but what is the real value of a stock or of a land or anything?
No, I understand that.
How do you figure that out?
Okay, there is a median over the last, but with the land, it's a specific. I think the land is a specific case. It's not necessarily, you know, if you summer homes, I'm sure are more expensive in April than they are in November, right?
Probably not.
Anyway, so there's some amount of fluctuation there. So that's a predictable fluctuation based on the time of the year. Okay. So that is that was given. We can stay here. This is not quoted from. Basically, you could just quote. Well, this is the mission of Maseches Pei, but straight up. But this is an important thing. Balabayis aholik makom lamakom, v'chalu ma'osa v'derech. So let's say you have a balabayis, someone who has money. I think that's the point here. And he's traveling, and all of a sudden he's out of money on the road. He lost his money on the road. So v'ein lo ma'yochal, he doesn't have what to eat. So yital tzedakah, he could take tzedakah. V'cheshiyachzur leveso, eino chayev l'shalim. When he gets back to his house, so he's not obligated to repay that. T'havalei ka'ani va'asher d'eino chayev l'shalim. Why? Because he's considered like a... he's considered a ka'ani v'he'ashir, right? He's considered like a poor person who became wealthy, and the lach is that he doesn't have to go back and give all this money back to people that gave him stuck along the years. Stucka, and then the person's doing okay. So he doesn't owe that money back. Now, there is a... this, by the way, is a machlokas in the Mishnah. We're paskin, eino chayev l'shalim. That person is not obligated to pay back. So the shach adds in, if you look at the shach test, it's not just if you took from the official tzedakah sources, even if there's some dude, the shaparnaso derech chesed, did the chesed for you and gave you money, and gave you enough to take care of yourself, you didn't have time, money at that time, so he gave you money. It says chay, right? Okay, it just says chay. And then there's a blank space. Looks like there is white out on the edition. And so chay of l'shalim, so he would be chay to pay im chaver tovo if a person asks. With the exception being zulas biyasom ani, except for a yasom. There, the assumption is that if you're giving to a yasom, so he's going to be able to keep it. But there is some concept that if the person comes and asks, and he had money, he had some kind of assets at the time, he could somehow demand it back. Now, I'm not sure how you make that type of call as to who was giving when, with what assumptions they were giving it, but at least there is something on the books about requesting some amount of money back. There is also the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayos, that you're not, it says on this Mishnah, Einu Chayv L'Shalim, you're not obligated to pay back. He says, but there is a Midas Chassidus to do so. Yeah. So the Rambam says that in the Perush HaMishnayos, and doesn't say it in the Mishnah Torah. Mm-hmm. So there is a bit of an issue. The Aruch HaShulchan points this out. The Aruch HaShulchan points out explicitly in Rishon Gimel Yudal. He quotes that Rambam. It concludes by saying, It's like a poor person became rich. That's the Rambam. It's not totally correlated. Not sure what that says. Where'd that line go? Why does he not include that in the Mishnah Torah? The Gambi Yerushalmi Mashmakin. It sounds like that in Yerushalmi as well. That if there's some kind of Midas Chasidus involved. He says, that in his Chibur, that in the Mishnah Torah, he only writes what's required, Me'ikar Adin. Now, is that a rule? I don't know. Is that a rule? Does the Rambam never include in the Mishnah Torah some things that's a Midas Chasidus or not? I don't. You gotta ask Rabbi Cohen one night what the story is with that.
Good question.
Yeah, and then he adds in one more line. He says, "Vidash adavar pasha." That's also obvious that if you're one of these people that go from place to place, and one of these people had any money, so and you have the ability to borrow it, so you wouldn't be allowed to accept stucca. Right now, the accepting a stucca is like, what are we talking about? We're talking about a guy going to shul and taking money out of the pushka. Like that's so. Nowadays, this doesn't happen so much because even though technically, if you have a credit card, you have the ability to borrow money.
Yeah.
It happened. It did happen to me technically when I. When I first moved here, like 2 weeks, Yoni Abraham got married in Baltimore, and I was going down, and I realized I didn't have Easy Pass, I didn't have cash, my credit card was demanding that I knew my zip code, I didn't know my zip code, so I get to like a rest stop. And I'm like looking around the car, like for change. At first, I went in and asked them, like, can I like buy something and pay more on the credit card? You'll give me change. They're like, no.
The debit card, they might let you.
Okay, the guy was like, no can do. So I'm like scrounging around the floor of the car looking for money that maybe I could use to pay for a toll. And Rivka, at that time, Levy, walks by, like, Rabbi Gross? She'd only see me once. Been here like a Shabbos, like a Shabbos. I'm like, what are you? What are you doing? So she gave me $20. So I survived. But that would not qualify as tzedakah. That would qualify as a loan. So then I paid her back. I let the record show that I paid her back. Okay. So.
Yeah, it's funny. $20 isn't much money these days, but.
It was enough for a toll.
Enough to get through one of them. You gotta go a long way on $20.
Okay. There is an interesting question about how poor is he considered when he's in that state? Is he really considered to be an ani, or is he what's nafgamina that if you like tell you a person's an ani, so he could like go to the street corner and like panhandle, right? He's the quality is. So let's say a guy walks by and drops in $500 for him or something. So is that okay? So he quotes here from a whole bunch of sources on the bottom this one, right? He quotes from a Kehilas Yaakov in Bava Basra and that he says only that the halacha if a poor person is below the threshold and someone gives him a lot of money, afterwards he's allowed to keep all that money. So if it's $200 on the threshold, someone gives him $200 when he had $195, so he doesn't have to give that money back. He's allowed to go above the threshold. He says that halacha doesn't apply to this guy. This guy's only allowed to collect that which is necessary for him to be able to get by. Okay, so Sifhei actually is also interesting. Also things that could come up. So Misha Pirnes Yasom, v'hai mechavin lemitzvah. A person gives money to the Yasom, has a mind, is doing the mitzvah. V'cheshehigdil tava mimenu masha parnaso aser. And then when he gets older, the person comes back and says, the Yasom grows up, and now he's a good guy, he's got plenty of money. So people who supported him come back and make a can you give us the money that we supported you with back in the day? No interest. Alarm, yeah. No interest, just the money. So he's not obligated to pay back. But remember, we saw already that in the case of a regular ani, he might be, or he might. There's some. Or the Shach quoted that. The Shach and Sif Tess had that idea that maybe a regular person would have to give back. Says the Rama, filu hayel liyasim ba'usa shah im lo sheper shedera halva parnaso v'dafki parnaso. That and even if he could have taken a loan. Still, if it was given to him without explicitly understanding that it's going, without explicitly saying that it's a loan, you wouldn't be able to get the money back from the yasum. The dafki yasum, however, aval achim, somebody else, afilu b'stam nami, aminu shedera chalva, asami achar sheyishlo nechasim, that if the person actually has assets, so then the assumption actually is that it is a loan, and then you would be able to demand that money back. I don't know how that works, if it's like a loan contingent on him, like, does the ani realize? Like, it seems like it's stated as only if the person comes back to you and asks for it, would you give the money back? So how does that work in terms of a loan? Now this guy's holding this money that sort of belongs to someone else. If he comes and asks for it, like, what's the halachic ideal of that? That's a little unclear. It's not just unclear to me, but it's unclear here. He actually uses an interesting term. He says shedin zeh she'enu yachol ledvoa achar kach miyasu mashenasun lo. Who mi halachus ha'amumos? What does that mean? Dim. Ha'amumos. Dim. These are like very unclear what exactly is going on here with regards to this halacha of whether you can or cannot go back to the person who you gave tzedakah to.
You think this paragraph is referring to someone who's temporarily poor, like the guy who's traveling, or
somebody who has assets. It's like the case we started with. Right, the person with assets, really, but he's not usable now. Right, that was my impression. That's what I think. Okay. All right. So there's one more halacha here. Vav. So ani shegavu lo lahashlim lo dai machsiro. So let's say there's an ani that you set out to collect for this person. Enough to die machzero, to make up his debts, what he's lacking. Vohotiru, and you got more amashetzarech than what you wanted. So hamutzar shelo, so the extra part is his, meaning you collected for a certain ani with a name, and you collected more than what you thought was necessary. So he gets that extra amount. So this happens. This happened here, right? We raised money a couple of years ago. There was right. That person, right? So much more money came in. She gets all of it. V'im gavol la'aniyim stam. But if you were collecting stam for aniyim, v'otiru, and you got extra, so yishmeru la'aniyim achim. So then you would give it to other, you would spread it around to the other aniyim as well. V'chim mutar shavoy lo'osa shavoy. Similarly, if you raise money for a particular captive, so it would go to that captive. So, which is an interesting, there's whatever the ransom is, $5,000, and you raise $6,000, so the captive ends up ahead. That's what it sounds like to me. V'im gavu l'shavuyim stam, v'hutiru yish... I mean, the first time I read this, I was like, implied that, I thought it meant the pirates were asking for $5,000, and you raise $6,000, so the pirates got that again. Right, so no, it means it goes to the shavuy. Okay, got it. It sounds like that person gets it, but if you collected it in general for captives, stam bo tiru, yishmeru sam l'shavuyim achim. So then it sounds like you would put it in the pot for other shavuyim, right. V'chein mutar, similarly, mosar ames l'yorshav, mutar mesim l'mesim, so similarly, if you collect it for someone who passed away, so it would go to his yorshim, but if you collected it for the Chavar Kedisha, the Free Burial Society collected money, so then it would go to other mesim. V'imro ha-parnasim, v'sheish tzorech shav, ratzu l'shanos ha-rashus b'yaldam. If the parnasim saw that there's a change at that particular time, so then they have rashus to change it. So more of that will be later on, but it sounds like this is like in the general case. I mean, you raised general funds for a particular cause, and now there's another cause that came up, so you could redirect that. That's the money we're talking about. I don't think we're talking about the individual money. Now, there is a case here. There's a comment that's made which caught my eye, where he says, where is it? Yeah, he says, V'yeshmi poskeiz manenu, there are poskim from today, who he quotes from the Shevet HaLevi, where we live, mutar afilu chachil l'shanus moser shegavu v'shvil aniyim musuyamim l'aniyim acherim. You are permitted to l'chachila take money that was collected for a particular ani and shift it over to another ani. Right? Why? Because nowadays there's many aniyim, and therefore if you see gabayim that have extra, the gabayim should be able to give to other people. So I looked up this Sheva Leila. Like, really? Like why? If you collect it for a particular person, why should that change? So it's a bit of a nuanced case. In the case where you have a GoFundMe account for a particular person, you're going to people who know that person. So, well, I shouldn't say that. To give appreciation to people that have helped us in the past, a chesed fund. You have a chesed fund account for a particular person, and that's who you're raising. You're raising for this particular person. So I don't think that's the case that Sheva Levi was talking about. The Sheva Levi is talking about that a mishulach shows up here and says, I'm collecting for a kala. Right? So he might really have a particular, right? And that's what these guys often are doing, right? They're coming in and saying, there's a kala that I'm raising money for. Now, if they're saying, like my daughters, and they're raising it for themselves. But if they're raising for a kala out there, so the person who's giving, they don't care who the kala is. Right? They're not saying, oh, this money should only go to Sprinza, right? They don't care, right? So I think that's the case that Sheva Levi is talking about. It's a very short Sheva Levi. I think that's what he's referring to. The truth is the person coming around is saying, I'm raising it for a particular person, but the person giving it doesn't really care that it's going to that particular person. They want to give it for that particular cause, and therefore the money could actually be shifted around. There is a bit of a issue here. How does this work? Meaning if a person is now over the amount that they need, so they get it, right? In the case where you are raising for a particular person, people want to give to that particular person, so they get all that money. So you need the person needs $25,000 and you raise $40,000. So once you're above that threshold, is it still tzedakah? That's his question, right? Is that still considered tzedakah then? Who cares if it's tzedakah? People are giving it anyways. Well, could they use their meiser ksafim on it? Can they use their money for it towards that cause? So he suggests that this all fits into the if you give a person a lump sum and that sends them way over the threshold of aniyus, they're allowed to keep all that money. He says not only does that count for the poor person, it also counts for the giver as well. That's his sack, even though it's a little difficult to understand, but like everybody's in.
How would you know whose money is the excess and whose money is?
Well, you could go to the Chesed Fund page and you could add up the numbers.
You see
the order. First. Right, so he says it's not the case. I mean, it sounds like if it's one campaign, even if you are the person who went above, who gave even after the goal was reached. So, first of all, the goals are somewhat meaningless, anyways. So it still is considered a lump sum. And he says, particularly if you're giving that person the lump sum, and particularly if the money's going to that person at one time, so then it's all going to be mixed together and would be considered stuck up for everybody who gave. All right? So, okay, I'm going to stop you here. I don't know if I'm spending. There's still a bunch more Hilchot stock. I'm not sure how much more we'll spend the Hilchot stock on. Well, we'll see what we do next
week. It's like a campaign contributions. The guys have, like, money in the bank from their previous campaigns.
Yeah, they use it for stuff.